please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday. I don't know about you, but I really look forward to Fridays. Fridays are my day off, and so get to decompress and do a few things around the house that need to be done. So this week I managed to get my Christmas decorations put back up where they're supposed to be, and normally we get that taken care of. So they had those all down when I got back from Fiji. They had them all boxed up, but I really haven't had the time to throw them up there when anybody else was there. They're a little on the heavy side, and they's like, we don't want you doing that without somebody there. And on the inside, I'm saying, I don't really want to do that without somebody being there. So they were there to help me this week, and so we're ready to move forward with that. So we want to start off today by saying thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. Area code 321-632-9538. That's 321-632-9538. If you have any electrical or heating or air conditioning needs, give them a call. They're based here in Rockledge, Florida, and they go all throughout the county from the southern end to the northern end. They can address your needs, get you up and running. They will treat you fairly. And when they say they're going to show up, they show up. And so I encourage you to give them a call. They're not fly by night. The company's been around for decades here in Brevard County, and I know that they will do a great job for you. 321-632-9538. That is Wyrick Air. 321-632-9538. One thing I failed to mention on yesterday's program, we were talking about unforgiveness and how that people were attributing godly miracles to being done by the power of Satan, by Beelzebub. Verse number 27 of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus asked them a question. He said, "And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out?" And so before I get into the teaching today, I just want to go back and revisit that particular area from yesterday, because a lot of times we tend to attack other churches. I'm not saying that in an admirable way or a praiseworthy way. I'm just pointing out a fact that a lot of times One particular denomination will speak bad about another denomination. And Jesus, when they said, you're casting out these demons by Beelzebub, he said, okay, well, by what authority, by what power are your children, are your sons casting them out? And here's the thing, they weren't. That was what made Jesus' ministry so groundbreaking, was that there were things that were going on in a very spiritually hostile environment that had never been seen before. And yet when deliverances started taking place, when healing started taking place, the people who were in power and in authority, they started speaking evil against it, because it made them look bad. And Jesus said, okay, if I'm doing this from an ungodly source of power, I would like to ask you by what power your sons are doing these things. And the point of the question was, it was not happening before. And he was saying, I'm doing the things that I see the Father doing. I'm speaking the words that I hear the Father speaking, and people are being set free. They're being delivered. They're being restored and made whole for the glory of God. And is that happening for you? So now let me bring this to where the rubber meets the road. Why would one church look at another church where a lot of people are getting saved and saying, well, they're doing that from an ungodly standpoint. And so the question would be, okay, well, by what authority, by what power are people being saved and delivered at your church? And if we're not seeing people delivered in our church, then we certainly have no privilege. We certainly have no credible stance to be pointing a finger at a place where people are getting saved. Look, I pray that every Bible preaching church, gospel preaching church in Brevard County is seeing hell plundered on a daily and weekly basis, and that everybody is seeing souls saved. Okay? On the same hand, if you're seeing people get healed in your services, then you don't have to worry about the judgment of other people where healings are not taking place, because if you know that you are praying the prayer of faith and the Lord is raising them up, then you don't have to worry about the malicious statements that other people that are not seeing that sort of authority and power in their ministry, you don't have to worry about that. Say, look, it's just by the power of God to the glory of God. That's all it is. And you know, if you're seeing people discipled, there are a lot of places. So we need to quit shooting ourselves. The church too many times is operating in a spirit of condemnation, and there are too many casualties from friendly fire when we really should be saying, you know what, I celebrate what God is doing in you and through you. One of the churches on Merritt Island, First Baptist Church of Merritt Island with Pastor Titus Green, every week they are rotating through the names of churches. At least I assume it's every week. It might be less frequently than that. But ever so often I get a group of communications, either emails, cards, letters, things like that, and let me know that they were praying for Merritt Assembly of God and they were praying for me. And I, you know what? I rejoice in what God is doing. We partner with them on some of their community-wide ministries. We partner with them with their pregnancy center. One of our ladies works with them at their ministry there, because the body of Christ is supposed to be known for our love for one another, not our condemnation for one another. So, anyway, if you're in love with the Word of God, if you're in love with the God of the Word, if you're proclaiming the Word of God, if you're seeing people being saved, if you're seeing people healed, if you're seeing people baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you're seeing spiritual breakthrough, and then other people are condemning you for it, well, you're in good company. But don't let that derail you. Don't let it discourage you. Let me just tell you how I handle some of that type of stuff in my life. There was a time where I went to church on a Sunday night, and I go to my office before church, and I go to my office after church a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times. And on this particular Sunday night, after I had left my office, gone to church, I came back and I found a letter taped to my door. It was at eye level. It was impossible to miss. And it was a letter that went something like this: "You're a horrible person. You're a horrible pastor. Blah 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 blah." That was the type of content that it had. And I tell you what I did. I took the letter and I read it. And the first thing that didn't happen was there wasn't any, well, who is this person and why would they do this and all of that sort of stuff. The first thing that I did was I took it into my prayer closet and I laid it before the Lord and I said, God, if there is any truth in this letter, I would like for you to confirm it for me. I'd like for you to deal with it in my life so that I can purge this from my life, because I don't want this to be my testimony. And so I did that, and there was a second part of the prayer, and it was this: God, anything in this letter that is not of you, I don't want it to have any authority in my life. I don't want it to find any place in my life or in my heart. And so anything that is not of you, I'm going to get out of my mind, and I can't even remember all of that other stuff. What I can tell you is that because of the way that I handled that situation, there ended up being a tremendous reconciliation, because even though they did it anonymously, I knew who they were. And we already had a meeting scheduled for the next day. We dealt with that situation. We had that meeting on a Tuesday. On Wednesday, I got a phone call from this person telling me what a blessing from the Lord had come about as a result of that. And actually, the words that they said is, you just gave us the greatest blessing that our marriage has ever had. And so instead of there being a spiritual divorce, a separating with hatred and hardness of heart, there was a reconciliation. And there was some time that went by, and God opened up another door for them, and we were able to send them forth with blessing instead of with hurt and pain. And later on, they blessed somebody in the church because of a blessing that they had received in their life. All of that to say, when people speak evil about you, you got to look at yourself and say, okay, are we seeing the spiritual fruit? Because if we're not seeing spiritual fruit, then there's something wrong. God doesn't plant bad seed, and God makes us fertile soil. So we need to be seeing fruit of some sort, some development. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I want to take you to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. This is a Psalm of David, and it says in verse number 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. What I'd like you to see today is that being forgiven is a blessing from the Lord. It is a big time blessing to know that your sins have been dealt with and they're not coming back. That you realize that the transgression that you've committed, that place where you violated the command of God, you missed the mark. If you rebelled, if you acted in ignorance, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. And I just want to call you the blessed of the Lord today. Now, if you have not addressed your sin issue, then I can't call you blessed yet. I believe that the first and preeminent blessing that a person receives in their life is when they ask Jesus to be their Savior and their Lord, and they experience the forgiving grace of God is a marvelous, marvelous thing. So I call you the blessed of the Lord today. Romans chapter 4, verse number 7, is another place where this passage is brought into the New Testament. And so let me take you over there. Let's look at let's just start at verse number 1, Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those, and he's quoting Psalm 32, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? No, while circumcised, not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So we have two possibilities here when it comes to imputation, having something imputed to us. One is the Lord can impute sin. We don't want that. It says in verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And again, that's out of Psalm 32. But then later on, it talks about in verse number 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. What I'd like you to see is that when our sins are forgiven, there is righteousness that is going to be imputed to us, and it is going to have a bearing on the way that we walk. We are going to walk in the steps of faith. Okay? So I pray that you and I, that we would realize that this forgiveness that we have, that it came at a great cost, but it's the heart of God that he wants to forgive. Too many people think that God would never forgive them. Not the case at all. The reality is that if God wanted us to spend an eternity without him, we've already done enough, sinned enough, that he wouldn't have to do anything. He wouldn't have to lift a finger. But Jesus got off his throne, came and dwelt among men, died upon the cross, was buried in the ground, and rose again on the third day. He has done everything that is necessary for our sins to be forgiven, because he wants us to be restored to the purpose and the image that he intended for us to do our life, our walk, our journey of faith. He wants to make sure that we are fully equipped for the process. And part of that process is making sure that we have been supplied everything that we need, but also that we are willing to walk in that spirit of forgiveness. I want to take you one more passage, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Okay. If you see my Bible, it's a great big print Bible. And so I don't get as many verses on a page, but it sure does make it easy to be able to identify the passage on a scripture. In verse number 36, it says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.'" Now, I will, let me just stop there for just a moment, because I want to add something to that. Because Jesus would not only know who and what manner of woman she was, but by his own declaration, he would also know who and what manner of person this Pharisee is. That awareness of the omniscience of God, that he knows every detail about our life, that should be very sobering. That should be something that causes us to know we're not, we might be able to conceal and hide things from men, but we're not going to be able to conceal and hide things from God. And Jesus was fully aware of what was going on inside this Pharisee. And Jesus answered, verse number 40, and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The manifestation of great forgiveness is great love. There's going to be great love. There will be great emotion that is involved in it. There will be great worship that is involved in it, and there will be great devotion because we've been forgiven much. I haven't shared this on the radio yet, but I will now, and that is back in December, right before Christmas, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. A lot of people think that just because you are proclaiming the good news and you're preaching the gospel all the time that you don't have any bad things or challenging things that happen to you. That's not true. And so we went to prayer. There were lots of people praying, and we're very thankful for that. But my mother had a really rough 2018, to be honest with you. She spent way too much time in the hospital. She was in the hospital in January, in the hospital in April, I believe it was, almost the entire month of April. She got better. She had another report throughout the summer, got sick right before Thanksgiving, recovered from that, and then right before Christmas was diagnosed with cancer. Well, they sent her to a cancer center, which a relative of hers happened to build, and they grew up together. And so I was rejoicing for God's providence that, you know, 50 years earlier, there had been a seed planted in someone's life that says, you know what, I need to develop a specialty for you to deal with cancer. And that person was there, or to treat cancer, so that my mother would have that care. So they sent her for some tests that took place a little over a week ago. And they sent an email report to her overnight and said that the cancer was a very low grade, low density tumor, and that they didn't find any other spots of cancer throughout her whole body. They went and they checked. And so she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, in all honesty, from the pictures, we could not even identify it as cancer. The only way we were able to identify it as cancer was because of the biopsy we did. We just happened to biopsy the few cells that happened to be malignant. And so they said, so you're not going to have this particular type of treatment. You're only going to have to go through up to a few sessions of this other particular type of treatment. And I will tell you, after my mother had been so sick for much of 2018, there was great praise and gratitude for getting a glorious report. We assessed it about a 99 out of 100 positive. The only thing that would have been any better if they said we didn't find any cancer whatsoever. And we had an evangelist just recently, and that was a testimony of his life. One day he was dying of cancer, three to 6 months to live, I believe it was, and the next day he was cancer free. I want you to understand, as you go into this weekend, if you realize that it doesn't matter whether it was a few cells or a massive tumor of sin that you had in your life, if God forgive you, may you have great love in your life. May you experience the great emotion and worship God greatly and be fully devoted to Him, for He is your Savior. See you next week.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Place made of